Time now for KRWG StoryCorps. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Today we meet Charles Swift as he talks to his friend Julie Woody about his first day of teaching and an influential professor.
I could tell you about my first day of student teaching after taking a perilously circuitous route to that day when I became a teacher. And I went to student teach. I showed up early, had on a new suit, and had gone and talked to the supervising teacher the day before. And he said, well, we're giving a test tomorrow, so come on out and it'll be easy. You and I can visit and I'll show you around the room. So I went, and the first thing they had was homeroom. And this was in the fall semester, so it was football season. So the homeroom students were making posters, you know, kill the Bobcats or whatever the, you know, thing was. And right at the end of the period, I was just walking around amongst these lab tables, slate top lab tables. I was just walking around and the bell rang and this cute little girl, ninth grader, stood up, turned around, and she had in her hands a 1 gallon glass pickle jar full of white tempera paint, which she dropped on the cement floor and it hit right between my new shoes and shot white tempera paint all the way to my crotch. You know, all over my pants, just this giant albino crotch stain of tempera paint. And she, of course, said, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, and then flitted off to her first period class. I, on the other hand, flitted down to the boys' restroom, took off my pants, and washed them in the sink. Put them on, and flap, 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 wet pants and all, went back and started my first period of class. About third period, my pants were just beginning to get dry, and my shoes were just starting to stop squishing. And my cooperating teacher said, made a motion, pantomime, that he wanted to step out for a smoke. And the kids were taking a test, so, you know, no problem. I said, sure, go, man. You know, I've taught kids at scout camp. I can keep an eye on these kids. Their heads are down. They're just working. So I was patrolling again in my damp suit pants and shirt and tie and coat and all, trying to look professional. And I got way in the back of the room, and a young lady on the second row on a stool on these lab tables pushed back from the lab table and said, Mr. Swift, I think I'm going to be bonk. And she passed out. And as she went down, she hit her head right above the eye on the corner edge of that slate top table. And she busted about a 3-inch gash in her forehead and blood shot about 6 feet in all directions. And she hit the floor like a box of rags. And I'm all the way in the back of the room. Well, I begin leaping over desks and stools and jumping up there, and I get up there. And she appears, for all intents and purposes, dead. So I scooped her up in my, I didn't know what to do, and I scooped her up in my arms. And I turned around to the class, and I said, who's the meanest kid in this class? And they all pointed to the same kid, a big Hispanic kid up on the front row, left first seat. And I said, young man, what's your name? And he said, my name, Alfredo. But they call me the Bear. And I said, Mr. Bear, you're in charge of the class. Kindly see that everybody continues to work on their tests and doesn't get up out of their seats. And I started down the hall with this unconscious, possibly dead young lady in my arms. And just as I got down the hall, out of the teacher's lounge came the principal of the high school and my cooperating teacher. And they saw me carrying this girl in my arms and, of course, leaving a trail of blood, you know, right down the. And I said, where's the nurse's office? And the principal said, what happened? And I said, I'll tell you later. Where's the nurse's office? And I just handed him this girl, and he turned and spun around and took off. That's the way my teaching career started. And it kind of went downhill after that. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but it certainly was a memorable thing. In teaching, I unfortunately don't feel like in high school or public school, K through 12, that I had very many really influential teachers. I had a pretty good second grade teacher and a pretty good fourth grade teacher. They thought I was smart because I could read above grade level, and they let me read pretty much anything I wanted to. Junior high, I had terrible teachers, and I did terrible things to them, for which perhaps opening day of student teaching was a payback, kind of a karma thing. But I had a couple of good teachers in college, one in particular. I only took one course from the guy. His name was Dr. Russell Long, and he was a professor of biology at Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. It used to be called Lamar State College of Technology. And I went out in the field with Dr. Long, and the course I took from him was field studies of the vertebrates and something like that, where you went out and did most of your work in the field. It was all about vertebrates. Vertebrates go by the name Farbum, fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals, okay? So it's a one-semester course, and you studied kind of all those categories. So it was a killer course. But he was a fabulous teacher, sort of a magic teacher, and he brought an enthusiasm and a reliability and a comfort with technical stuff that just blew me away. And I thought, man, I want to get me some of this. You know, this is the one I've been looking for. And we go out in the field, and I'd stay right at his elbow. Everybody'd scatter out. Not me, man. You talk about sucking up. I was right at this guy's elbow. And he'd say, Swift, see that board sticking out of the pond over there? He said, that looks like a good place for a Mississippi mud snake. Why don't you go over and flip that board and see it? And I go over and flip this board. And there is this Mississippi mud snake about 6 feet long. And it's a fairly rare snake. And it's real dark gray black on the top. And you flip it over and it has this bright fire engine red stomach. And it's non-poisonous and slick as ox snot on a brass doorknob. Very hard to, you know, capture. And I managed to do so because I had a lot of experience with reptiles from the Boy Scout days. And it just always impressed me that it was almost like he went out early in the morning and staked the snake out, you know, but that wasn't something that could be done. But he was just this guy who was always on. He was always teaching, and you couldn't be around him without learning something.
Charles Swift and his friend, Julie Woody, from a conversation recorded in Mesilla. You can hear this story and other local StoryCorps interviews online at krwg.org in the radio tab under StoryCorps. For KRWG, I'm Edmundo Resendez.